please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. Verse 16, the last few verses of this book. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and every way. The Lord be with you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark of all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The Lord be with you. Last week we looked at peace. The Lord of peace grant you peace at all times in every way. I pray and hope that you enjoyed more peace this last week. I pray that you have experienced that. It is a gift from God, divine, the Lord of peace. It is a gift, a deep trust in God. No matter what happens, was there anything that happened this past week that could rob you of your peace that God gives you? No. In fact, anything that did happen ought to drive you more into trust of God. If your peace was interrupted, we said last week, it's because of two things, and basically they're both sin. One is because of sin. So repent and do what God wants you to do. And also the sin of not being a peacemaker. If you're not at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and Paul puts it this way, as far as it depends on you, not the other person, but as far as it depends upon you, be at peace. If your peace was interrupted, I pray that you took the steps to correct that. As the Puritan preacher Thomas Watson said, if you would have peace, you must make war with sin. Let's look at two other blessings that God gives to all of us because God is with us. The first one that we look at today is really the second one. What's the first one? Wait, I just talked about it. Now, come on. What's the first one? Peace. The second one is strength. Notice he says, the Lord be with you. He's not asking that the Lord might be with you. He's really stating the fact the Lord is with you. Is the Lord with you? How many times are you ever completely alone? You know, we like to be alone at times. Not for extended period of times. If I told my wife, you know, I think I want to be alone for the next year, that wouldn't be good. But we like our space. We like our time. There are times that we think we're completely alone. Sometimes we should be alone because we're a pain, so just go be by yourself. But you are never alone. Who is always with you? Is that a scary thought or is that an encouraging thought? Sometimes we use that to scare children. We say, you know, God's watching. And sometimes we don't want God watching. But God is always with you. He's always beside you. He's always in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. God is with you. You know, He is the Lord of peace. And so He always is giving you peace everywhere in every way. Why can He give you such peace? Because He's always with you. When are you alone? Never. Of course, God is omnipresent. That's a big fancy word, which means God is everywhere. But this is a special blessing for believers. He's not just because God is everywhere, but because God is right with you. Just look at the seat beside you. God is with you. God is always with you. Not just here on Sundays. Well, I can't lie in the church house. Well, if you're going to lie, go ahead and lie here. You know, well, you know, I come to church because God is there. Yes, God is here, but God is with you everywhere. You mean God is with you when you're brushing your teeth? God is with you when you go to work? God is with you when you drive down Rio Bravo? God is with you constantly. And He's with you when you don't even feel like He's with you. He's always with you. Always. Psalm 46, verse 1. Often this is called Martin Luther's psalm. Because Martin Luther, when he was discouraged, when he was despondent, when he was feeling low, he would say to those around him, come on, let's get together and sing Psalm 46. You know what Psalm 46, verse 1 says? God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. What did Jesus say in some of His last words? Matthew 28, I will be with you always until the very end of this age. Now, why do we need the Lord to be with us? Let's do a little study. Here's some benefits, some blessings of the Lord being with you. Do you want to know those? Oh, good, good. The Lord is with you. One is because it enables you to resist temptation. What does 1 Corinthians 10:13 say? The Lord is faithful. When tempted, He will always provide a way of escape. No one can be tempted beyond what they can bear because the Lord is with you. How often are you tempted? Daily, hourly I am tempted. Would you like some help with that? Would you like the Lord to be with you? Christ was tempted. He knows what temptation is like. Hebrews 4:15 says He was tempted in every way just like we are, yet was what? Without sin. How would you like someone in your corner who has faced temptation like you have, but never gave in? Would that be any encouragement to you? Well, you have that. The Lord is with you, enable you to resist temptation. And God always opens a way so that you can flee from that temptation. Now, granted, the way of escape is not always pleasant. It's not always fun. It may be rough. You may lose friends. You may be made fun of. It's not always easy, but the Lord is with you. If you knew that you had, in any temptation, God right there with you, would it be easier to resist? Well, see, that's a mute question because He is. The Lord is with you. Second benefit is to fight Satan and demons. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. And then He lists what we call the armor that all of us have because we are in Christ. Do you have available to you the armor of God? Do you ever go out to fight without it on? Often we leave it in the closet, don't we? Would you come to church not dressed? Please don't do that. Would you go and have your day without the armor on? Often we do. It's available. It's hanging in your closet. It's right there. Put it on to fight Satan and demons. Would you go to battle without your armor? I have a son. I have many sons. I can't even remember how many I have now. I have three sons. One is a Marine who is an EOD, Explosive Ordnance Device. I've seen the suits that they wear when they go in to take apart a bomb. What if he showed up in his boxer shorts and flip-flops? Hey, get out of here. I have another son who is an Army Ranger. And he shows me pictures of the night vision goggles and all this stuff. What if he jumped out of a helicopter in Afghanistan without that on? Ridiculous, you say. Then why do we as Christians go to battle without the armor? That's available to us. If you went to a fight and you were fighting the biggest fighter known in history, whoever, who would you want in your corner? If you knew the Lord is in your corner, Ah, and he is. Third, to more effectively serve him. When we try to serve God, try to serve Christ in our own talents, our own abilities, what always happens? Sometimes we fake it pretty well, don't we? But eventually, we flop. I asked an old preacher one time, when I first started preaching, I said, when do you get to the point that when you're going to preach, you're not nervous before you get up to preach? And he says, listen, if you ever find yourself not nervous when you're going to preach, don't even get up, just sit down and shut up. Because you're relying on your own strength to more effectively serve God. In Ephesians 3:7, Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Colossians 1:29, I do this with all the strength that He provides. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. And then turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. May the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you go to battle without the Lord? No. Can you resist temptation without the Lord? No. Can you serve Him without His power? No. The Lord is with you. A fourth benefit is to persevere. How many people do you know that have started out gung-ho for Jesus and you don't see them anymore? They just kind of... They have forgotten that the Lord is with them. In Jude chapter 1 or chapter 2, whichever chapter of Jude you want to pick, because there's only one chapter. Jude, verse 24, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. If you're feeling like giving up, you've tried this Christianity thing and it's just not working for you, then would you just take a moment and remember the Lord is with you? The Lord is with you. A fifth benefit is to endure trials. Anyone here have any trials? Yeah, I hear about them quite often. And let me tell you about mine. But turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul says, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. The Lord is with you. You can hang in there. You can resist temptation. You can fight against Satan and demons by allowing God to fight the fight for you. You can endure trials. And a sixth benefit, to effectively witness. I can guarantee you this. If you try to witness for Christ on your own strength, what's going to happen? Down the tubes. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the very ends of the world. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, as you go, be my witnesses. As you go, you will make disciples, baptizing, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I am with you always to the very end of this age. As the age ended, so where's the Lord? He is with you. He is with you. Without His presence, look at those benefits. Let me just read them to you again. resist temptation, fight Satan and demons, more effectively serve Him, persevere, endure trials to be an effective witness. Without His presence, which of those do you have? None of them. But is the Lord with you? The Lord is with you. Think of the strength. He is with you. He is in you. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes in a prayer these words, Ephesians 3, verse 16. He says, I pray that out of His glorious riches you may He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So what excuse do I have? When I don't do what God wants me to do, whose fault is it? I'm glad it's your fault, not mine. Whose fault is it? It's our own fault. My grandson, a couple of summers ago, disobeyed his mother. They were at our house, and I was sitting on the back porch, and I said, Dominic, why did you disobey your mother? She was very explicit in what she's told you to do or not to do, and you did just the opposite. Why did you disobey your mother? His was his answer, the devil made me do it. I said, no, don't give me that. You made the choice. You know, the Lord is with you. We don't need to pray, the Lord be with you. We need to pray, make me aware, remind me that the Lord is with me. When I face temptation, when I want to be a witness for Christ, when I want to serve Christ, when I have trials in my life, all those benefits, what do I need to remember? The Lord is with me. That doesn't mean it's going to be always easy, but much easier. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:37, we are more than what? Conquerors. And the phrase there means no contest. No contest. It's sort of like Yaffle team playing the Patriots. Well, if the balls are inflated, right? I mean, no contest. Who's going to win? Who would you put your money on? Of course you would. No contest. Who would you? The Lord is with you. No contest. You are more than conquerors, because nothing, as Paul says in Romans 8, the context of that is nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not even death. Not hardship. Not trials. No contest. When you remember and when you exercise, when you walk and live as if God was with you. Have you ever gone somewhere with your spouse and completely ignore them? It's always a bachelor with no wife that shakes his head. Yeah. How does that go over for you? You go to Costco and you just get out of the car and you walk in and leave your wife in the back, and then you run into her in the store and says, oh, I forgot you were here. Let me tell you, don't do that. And I haven't done that, but don't do that. I wonder how the Lord feels when we ignore that He's always with us. He's always with you. Isn't that a great benefit? The Lord be with you. Therefore, you can have peace at all times in every way. A third benefit is truth. I want you to look at verse 17, back in Thessalonians, verse 17. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all of my letters. This is how I write. The benefit, and you're going to wonder, how did he get this from that? So just shake your head and go, I don't get it. But let me explain. It's the benefit that you have the truth. You have the truth. You say, how do you get that from this verse? Because this, Paul wants them to know that this letter is authentic. It is really from here. Notice what he says, by my hand, very emphatic. I, Paul, all of my letters look like this. This is how I write. This is from me. Is that important? Absolutely. Now, Paul's letters, nobody writes letters anymore, do they? Has anyone written a letter in the last year? Very few. We write emails, we text, we all those other things. What do you do? We call. Nobody even calls anymore. They just... But Paul's letters are not like letters today or letters a few years ago. Good thing some of you still write letters, keep Shirley in business, the post office, right? You know, our letters, dear John, dear so-and-so, maybe it's just a postcard, a little card, having a great time, wish you were here. That's not what Paul's letters were. Paul's letters were what? God's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wants them to know this is for real. This is not just from Paul. This is authentic from the Apostle Paul, from God. This is his personal stamp, his signature, like you write your signature. Is this your signature? That's not my signature. Oh, we got a problem here. Paul says, look at it closely. This is my signature. I want you to know this is not fake. This is the truth. In chapter 2, verse 2, remember several months ago when we were looking at that, he says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. False teachers obviously had forged a letter, passing it around. This is from Paul. So here at the end of this book, he says, look, listen up. This is for real. And Paul and God, and we should be absolutely concerned with the truth. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, Paul says, we have denounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distract from the Word of God. How many preachers, how many churches will tell you what you want to hear to get you to come in the door? All kinds of gimmicks, all kinds of contests, all kinds of whatever. You'll feel good. It's not your grandma's church. In many ways, it ought to be your grandma's church because we teach the same truth that your grandma taught if she was a real believer. See, Paul's enemies, and he had plenty of them, they branded Paul as a liar, as a fake. Read his writings. And many people still do say, this book is a bunch of baloney. You can't really trust this about Paul's letters and the other scriptures. And many distract from the Word of God, and many distort the Word of God to make it say what they want it to say. Yeah, but you don't understand, Morgan. Times have changed. Culture's different. We can't preach this at our church because people will shy away from that. People won't come. Well, you've been here long enough. What are you going to hear when you come to Valley? The truth. You may not like it. I may not like preaching it sometimes. But we're going to stick to the truth. Because you see, truth matters, doesn't it? Would it matter if this was a fake letter from Paul? And we've spent all these months studying it? What a waste of time if it was just Paul's opinion. If you get in your car and someone has told you, you're going to go to Disneyland. How many miles is it to Disneyland? 430. You go there often, they have cats there. Mickey Mouse might get the cat. Oh, wait, never mind. And someone tells you, you know, it's just a couple of hours from here to Disneyland. And so you get in your car in a couple of hours, where are you? Gallup. You're going to be ticked off. They told me a couple of hours and I'm still in the state. If you go to the doctor and he says, he knows in his heart, he's looked at your report and you're going to die in a week. And he tells you, you're okay. Does that matter to you? Or flip it around. He knows you're okay, but he says, you're going to die. You want what when you go to the doctor? When you go to fill a prescription, do you want the pharmacist to give you the right medicine or not? Of course you do. Truth matters. I heard a lady just the last couple of weeks on TV. It's one of those times when the news goes off, so you're, before you go to sleep, just kind of looking around, and there was a talk show on. And a lady, if I told you her name, you know her well. She used to have her own TV show. And she's sort of become like a god to many people. And when it came on that channel, she was quoting scripture. And she said, you know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will make your path straight. I'm going, wow, she's quoting scripture. But then she went on to define and redefine the Lord. She said, you know what the Lord is? The Lord is goodness and kindness. And so if you just practice goodness and kindness to all people that come into your life, then you will be successful. She said, it's the same thing as Buddhism. Any religion, we all say the same thing. I was offended. You ought to be offended that I'm telling you that. I'm sure the Lord was offended. You're going to redefine the Lord as goodness and kindness only? What a blasphemy. But that's what our world is. The truth is just whatever you want to make it. Paul says, no, you check this out. You look, this is my signature. I, Paul, wrote this by my own hand. God's word is true. That's when you ought to say, uh-huh, amen. God's word is true. Whether everybody else is a liar, God is right. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you agree with it, whether it fits your situation, God is right. God is true. He cannot lie. Can you lie? Have you ever lied? Have you ever lied? Yes. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? In 1 Samuel 15:29, he who is the Lord of glory does not lie. Look over to Titus chapter 1. Titus 1, the very beginning of the book, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at His appointed season, He brought His word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Is it settled? God is truth. I've told you often about if you have this bumper sticker, be sure to take it off your car. You've seen that bumper sticker? You've seen that Brumple stickle? You've seen that bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. What's wrong with that? If God said it, it's settled whether you agree with it or not. God's word is true. And Paul wants to make sure that, and Christ is truth. What does John 14:6 say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father through me. John 1:14. No one has ever seen God, but He became flesh. He tented among us. He came down and made His home with us, and we beheld Him full of grace and truth. Christ is truth. God is truth. Ephesians 4:21, truth in Christ. Revelation 19:11, I saw a white horse with a rider on it whose name is faithful and true. The Holy Spirit's truth. Three times in John's Gospel, he refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And John writes in 1 John 5:6, the Spirit is truth. So we got a pattern going here, don't we? Is God true? Is Jesus truth? Is the Holy Spirit truth? There is nothing in God, nothing in Christ, nothing in the Holy Spirit that is fake. He is truth. Wouldn't you like Him in your corner? Wouldn't you like truth, absolute truth? You see, your friends that are not believers, the world and its philosophies, what's wrong with it? It's just man-made. We have the truth. And He's with you. Therefore, you can have peace. You can have strength. And if God is true, and Jesus is true, and the Holy Spirit is true, then what should we be? We as a church ought to be the pillar of truth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions, verse 14. If I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. I'm not there, but I'd like to come, Paul says. In the meantime, I'm writing this so you know this is God's truth, so pay attention to it. If I'm delayed, you will know how you ought to live, conduct yourselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Wow. That's why we read Scripture and we find often, how many times, I haven't even counted them up, the word of truth. Guard what is entrusted to you. Preach and teach and live the truth. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. You may remember this from a few weeks ago. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And in chapter 3, verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching. So what is the church to teach? The truth. Does it give you any encouragement that the Lord is with you? Does it give you an encouragement, even in the deepest, darkest times of your life, that He is with you and gives you peace? Does it give you an encouragement that because the Lord is with you, you can have His strength available through all situations, in every way, in every time? Yes. And does it give you an encouragement that you know and have your faith in and trust and also hold in your hands the truth of God? Absolutely. James puts it this way, James 1:18, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. The truth saves you. A false gospel does what for you? Damns you. Confuses you. We have the truth. The Word of God, the truth saves you. The truth enables you to grow. It is the truth of God that enables you to become more and more like Jesus. So we guard, we protect, and we allow the Word of God to govern our lives, don't we? How many times have you said, well, this is what the Word says, but I think, leave the but out of it. If God says it, it's settled. We guard it, and we live under the authority of God's truth. Hebrews 4:12. Would you look at that? Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How powerful is the truth? The truth. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. It divides. Sometimes the Word of God is encouraging, isn't it? Oh, I needed that verse. Sometimes the Word of God whacks you over the head or hits you in the shoulder. And we needed that. Sometimes it corrects us. Sometimes it admonishes. Sometimes it trains us for righteousness. Allow the Word of God, the truth, to do its job in your life. And when you do that, that gives you peace. That gives you strength because you have the truth of God. And what else do you need to live the life that God wants you to live? If I just had this, then I could do what God wants. What is it? Trick question. You have everything you need. The problem is me. I don't trust that the Lord is with me. Therefore, I don't enjoy the peace at all times in every way. I rely on my own strength and not His strength. And I blow it. I sin and I interrupt my peace with God. I'm at odds with someone and I'm not a peacemaker. I shouldn't expect to enjoy peace. I ignore the truth and wanted to say what I wanted to say, and therefore I do not rely on the truth as God has given it to us. But I have all that I need. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, listen to this verse. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. If I just had a different church, then I could be what God wants me to be. If I had more money, if I didn't have my kids, or my kids would straighten up, or my husband or my wife would straighten up, or if I didn't have to work with that lady at work who's just a pain, then I could be what God wants me to be. Would you do me and God an honor? Forget me. Do God an honor. Repeat after me. I have everything I need for life and godliness. It's right there. Can you imagine? You have everything available because the Lord is with you. Can you imagine? You needed a tool and, man, I need a hammer. And so every time you need a hammer, where do you go? No, you go to Home Depot and buy a hammer. When you've got stacks of hammers out there in the toolbox, piles of hammers, we have in Christ everything we need. Right in our hands, right beside us, right with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these farewell words from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian church, but speak to us that You are with us and You bring peace and strength and the truth and grace. May we be more aware of what's available to us. Thank You for Your power and strength and the truth. For Your glory we pray this. Amen. Before we sing a song, just you've seen this video, but it reminds me that I have everything I need.
Marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, well, by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.